The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports' daily NFL podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm the host. We do 8 shows a week. This week it's 10 shows or something insane. I'm only on like 7 of them because I'm tailgating and doing concerts and ignoring my duties. But that's okay. You know, he's not ignoring. I don't want to say Jared Dubin is ignoring his duty because he's fasting and you know, doing his religious duty. So instead of Dubin, we've got the great Tyler Sullivan. Tyler, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Will? How you doing?
I'm doing well. It actually works out really well that the stars aligned, right? You're locked into the Patriots. The Patriots and Giants of the Northeast. They're playing on Thursday night tonight. Dubin's out. You got to do the preview. And look, let's be honest here. I don't want to call this a bad game, but like on a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned is Bill Belichick with this game? Like, the Giants have owned the Patriots for years, and yet everybody's out for the Giants. I mean, what storyline are you looking at with this game? Patriots minus 17 now, over under. It's actually climbed up a little bit to 41.5.
Belichick slept soundly last night. I don't think he's worrying too much about it. But I think the biggest storyline going into this is still Daniel Jones. I mean, This is a guy, even if he shows a little bit, if he shows out just a little bit against this team in their building without the weapons that he won't have tonight, you know, Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, Wink Gallman.
Yeah,
if he shows out a little bit.
That's their top four offensive players, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, they're top two rushers and their top two receivers.
Yeah.
Gone. If he shows just a little bit in this game, you know, no one expects them to win. But even if he keeps it relatively competitive and looks good, well, then that's the huge story coming out of this.
I'm with you 100%. What I thought was interesting, I watched Belichick on the do the Belistrator on Patriots.com with Scott Zolak. Rainbows, unicorns.
What's up, Zo?
Yeah, I like Zolak. He's insane. He wasn't like. It wasn't a swipe at Eli Manning, but he was like, this kid brings, you can tell he has a legitimate, I think Belichick really likes Daniel Jones. Do you get that sense? I mean, there's some buzz that they might, you know, like wanted to maybe draft him. Is there any truth to that, you think?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, there were reports even dating back to during the draft that they were interested and he was in their building for a pre-draft workout. I mean, this is a guy that went number 6 overall. Belichick usually won't even, you know, talk about a guy like that. And again, 6 overall was kind of a shocker to everybody. I think they all thought it was going to be the Giants second first round pick there, or maybe even Washington with their pick in the teens there. But
15 or 17 was like the logical spot for Daniel Jones.
Right. And so
I don't know if Belichick said this or if I just heard this, but Daniel Jones visited the Patriots, right? And then as he was like leaving the Patriots thing, he's like rescheduled his travel to go to the Giants.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I mean, to me, the biggest thing was, you know, I think it was Diana Rossini of ESPN. She kind of had the report of Belichick talking to Cutcliffe, the head coach over at Duke, saying that, you know, we kind of like the kid and if we don't think he's going to fall, but we kind of hope he does. So that right there, I mean, Belichick saying that he likes him so much that he would bring him in. And the Patriots, they were in the quarterback market taking Jarrett Stidham in the 4th round. I mean, if they liked Daniel Jones that much and he fell, you know, maybe past the teens, maybe late teens, early 20s, who knows? Maybe they do trade up to go get him.
Well, unfortunately for Daniel Jones, he is a rookie quarterback playing in New England against Bill Belichick without all of his top weapons. I love the math on this because I just think it's fascinating that like these young kids go in to play Belichick. If you look at quarterbacks under the age of 25 or like 27 even, it ends up being like a really bad record against Bill Belichick. If you look at rookie quarterbacks on the road in New England against Bill Belichick,
not great.
They are 0-13. I thought it was worse, but I mean, I just looked it up, since 2001 to 2019, they are 0-13. The list is actually some pretty good people. Luke Falk, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, Derek Carr, Geno Smith, Ryan Tannehill, Andrew Luck, Mark Sanchez, Ken Dorsey, Carson Palmer, and Byron Leftwich. Not a terrible group of quarterbacks. No one's ever really come close to beating him. I think the closest one was Deshaun Watson. He lost 36-33 in 2017. And then, nope, Andrew Luck had a nice game, but they lost 59-24. Do you foreshadow something similar from Daniel Jones this evening?
I don't. Just solely for the fact that Saquon Barkley's not there. You don't have Sterling Shepard. Again, like we said, all those weapons, they're not there. It really puts a hand tied behind his back. You know, it's just really tough for him to show out. And even in that Deshaun Watson game that you mentioned earlier, it took a Tom Brady touchdown pass at the end of Brandon Cooks for that game to even, you know, be for the Patriots to win that. So it, I guess, can happen, but overall it's extremely tough. But going back to that opening point where we were saying that, you know, Daniel Jones just needs to show us a little bit. I think you were the one that tweeted this earlier in the week that it was Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson are the only quarterbacks to throw 300 yards or more against the Patriots. Mm-hmm. If he does something like that, I mean, he puts himself in some elite categories.
Dude, if he throws for 300 yards tonight with Darius Slayton and Cody Latimer, I mean, that would be if the Giants cover tonight. And I mean, it's 17. It's a huge number. So I get it. Like, I mean, it's like they could easily cover. Like the Patriots could decide they're going to win, you know, 27-17, or like Daniel Jones throws a touchdown late. The one thing I think that's interesting is you're in Boston. You're just outside of Boston. What's the weather like up there, Tyler?
It's not great. It's not great. It's not good. It's going to be really fun to drive to Gillette Stadium later on today, but rainy. And so it's just rainy. It's dull. It's going to be really windy. I looked at the forecast. I think it's going to be like 15-mile-an-hour winds at Gillette Stadium. So again, not great for a rookie quarterback. Brady plays in this all the time. And obviously Daniel Jones is a New York guy, Northeast. So he will have to play in these elements, but still the inexperience, the lack of weapons, it's just not going to be, it's just a recipe for a blowout, or at least not a stellar performance by Daniel Jones.
Okay. So what do you think the Giants, what's the Giants' best plan of attack when they've got the ball against this Patriots defense? Because I mean, look, it looks like the best defense in football, or one of the five best defenses in football. Worst case, they have an incredible back end coverage. And so you can't just come out and start winging it around in bad weather against this man coverage defense, right?
No, you can't. You know, one of the things is maybe utilize Golden Tate a little bit more. Obviously, he's coming into his second game since coming off the suspension. Get the ball out of Daniel Jones' hands quickly. I mean, that's the only thing I can start to think about. And again, those two can't do it alone. But overall, I do think that there's something to be said for Daniel Jones' rushing ability. You know, you go back a few weeks ago when they were playing the Bills again. You know, this ultimately led to Josh Allen getting hurt, but overall, he was able to run pretty effectively. He ran for over 5 yards a carry, you know, in limited action there, and he did run for a touchdown. So that is maybe a weakness there for the Patriots. It's kind of been that way for the last few years there. You know, this defense, like you said, on pace to be historic, but if there was ever one area to maybe utilize the RPO, kind of roll Daniel Jones out, this would be the night, especially with the lack of weapons.
Okay. All right. I can get down with that. And do you think that they try to just, I mean, if you're the Giants, you go in there and say, listen, we got to slow, we we're going to play like four corners, or I mean, or do whatever you can, not keep away, but like, we're going to try and hold the ball as long as possible and extend drives, you know, get 4 yards of play and just try to keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands and just turn this into a, they're only going to get 8 possessions type of situation. I mean, is that the play if you're the Giants? I honestly have no idea. Like, I mean, you hate to suggest that anything could be over before it starts, right, in the NFL, but I mean, it just, they feel so mismatched here.
It has to be though. I mean, you know, the best case scenario, I think, is for them to take the playbook out of the Indianapolis Colts against the Chiefs. I mean, really just take the time of possession, really get a hold of that. Cause to me, that's what was their undoing last week against the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, you know, at least in that first half, the Vikings owned time of possession. I mean, Daniel Jones didn't even really have what was the worst part about it was Daniel Jones needed to get a touchdown every time he got the ball to keep pace with the Vikings. It's almost like you have to do that reverse with the Patriots, just completely take a hold of it. And I think they might have been able to do it if Saquon Barkley was playing and if they had their full complement of weapons. I just think it's really tough now when not only are you playing in their building against an all-time defense, or at least projected to be, and then you don't have all your starters. It's just tough for them to do that.
Yeah, I mean, so I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Golden Tate is also there as well. Could be a sneaky play in fantasy, you know, if you do DFS daily, just because, you know, he might be the top target. I mean, look, like last week, 20 of Daniel Jones's 38 throws were to Sterling Shepard or Evan Engram. I mean, they're just losing everybody. What about, I mean, man, it is just hard.
I mean, Darius Slayton could be a good DFS pick too. I mean, he did go off last week. You know, he caught that long touchdown from Daniel Jones. There could be something there.
What is it about this Patriots defense in your mind that's different than previous Pats defenses? Cause to me, I think there's a case to be made that this is Belichick's best defense. Is that insane?
No. I mean, Brady's kind of referenced that earlier in the week. You know, he's saying, I won't argue with you, basically, when kind of brought that subject to his attention. And so, I mean, you know, does he want to bash all over his old teammates? No, but at the same time, we're looking at a defense here that could, or is at least projected to break the sack record, hasn't allowed a passing touchdown in the first 5 weeks of the season. It's absolutely insane what they're doing. And I think one of the biggest differences compared to, you know, in years past to now is, one, the continuity. I mean, there's really no new faces to this defense. And what the biggest new face to this defense is Jamie Collins, who knows this defense. Yeah. You know, he's been around, so he knows he can kind of jump right in. You know, Michael Bennett's new too, but they're only using him situationally. Hasn't really produced to the level, I guess, maybe people have thought when they first acquired him. And then the other thing too is that they have these young guys stepping up. For a while, the Patriots were kind of striking out and really relying on their previous draft classes, you know, whether it was the Dante Hightower class, the Devin McCourty class. Those guys have been around for a long time. Now you have Chase Winovich, you have Jonathan Jones, these guys stepping up here, even Juwan Williams situationally. You know, you have those guys coming in here, and then the undrafted people like J.C. Jackson coming up with a couple of picks over the last few weeks here. To me, it's those young guys providing depth and also the continuity with those veterans.
So it's sort of like the same philosophy as their offensive line. It's like these guys have worked together so long that they know how everyone's functioning. Like they're in, like, cause you see it on the film too. Like when they're handing off assignments and stuff, like, you know, when they're operating, somebody's blitzing and doing whatever, they clearly, I mean, it's like a band out there almost in terms of them knowing who's doing what and who's going where.
And let's just be fair here too, though. You know, let's not just, you know, pump up the Patriots too much. They've played nobody. I mean, they really have played absolutely nobody. I think it's, you know, the CBS Sports Research, I think it was like the bottom half of the league, or at least the bottom two in terms of scoring offenses they've played. And over the next couple of weeks here, Giants and Jets, I mean, it doesn't get any better.
Browns and then the Ravens. Yeah. I mean, Ravens can score and the Browns don't have a great offensive line. But yeah. I mean, they're the oldest quarterback. They've played one quarterback. I guess they played Fitzpatrick too, so that would count. But in Case Keenum. But I mean, like, if Fitzpatrick and Case Keenum are the two veterans outside Ben Roethlisberger you're playing, you're having a pretty good little run here. So yeah, that's not bad. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Patriots offense.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating, so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. and our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
All right. So Pat's offense. Let me ask you this, Tyler. Is the Pat's offense, is it good? Is it good? Is it secretly not good?
No, I think it's all right. I don't think it's, you know, it's not 2007 Patriots. Like, you know, we all expect this team to go undefeated or whatever. It's not the same type of offense. They're not winning the same way. But I do think that this is, you know, standard procedure from what we've seen with the Patriots over the last few years. They take this first quarter of the season to really kind of figure themselves out, you know, both on the defensive and offensive side of the ball. And, you know, I think you saw this a little bit last year too, especially when Josh Gordon arrived and then he was suspended. They were kind of figuring themselves out on the fly. And I think you're kind of seeing that now over the early goings of this season. I mean, first they start off the season trying to figure out who they are without Rob Gronkowski. Then they get Antonio Brown. He looks like he could be a weapon against Miami. Then he leaves. And then Josh Gordon is, you know, back into the fold. But now Philip Dorsett's hurt. So it's just a lot of pieces in and out. You have N'Keal Harry, who you thought was going to be a big piece for this offense, first round pick. He is on IR. The running game hasn't been particularly great. And the offensive line has suffered massive injuries. I mean, you have center David Andrews out for the year. You have Isaiah Wynn, who's on IR. I mean, you are kind of dealing with a lot of adversity there. And it's really been masked because they haven't really played anybody.
No, that's a good point. The guy that's kind of curious to me is Sony Michel, because people, at least at the fantasy level and just in general with the Pats rushing game, have sort of been freaking out about Sony Michel. It seems to me, though, that, like, he's, I mean, like, against these bad teams where they've been blowing him out, he's been fine, right? Or is he looking like a byproduct of offensive line isn't great, Sony can't really run the ball effectively? What's your take on the running game?
That's certainly part of it, and I wrote about this for the preview. It should be up either now or soon. When you hear this, it'll be up.
You can obviously read the preview on CBSSports.com, and you might be reading it and listening to this. If so, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And check out our Pick 6 podcast Facebook group, by the way.
Got to get those shameless plugs in. You got to do it.
Yeah, we are nothing if not permissionless here.
And so with Sony Michel, I think one of the biggest things, I really wasn't impressed with the 90 plus rushing yards and the touchdown last week. To me, I think the biggest takeaway that you can get from that game against the Redskins is that Tom Brady threw to him three times and he caught all three for over 30 yards. So over 10 yards per reception there. To me, that's the biggest thing that you can take with Sony Michel, because it kind of felt like the days when LeGarrette Blount was on this team, and it was really just whenever LeGarrette Blount's out there, they're running the football. Whenever Shane Vereen's out there, they're throwing the football. It's the same thing with Sony Michel and James White. Whenever either one of them is in, you know exactly what situation is happening. And if I understand that and you understand that, defensive coordinators understand that. I mean, so to me, when you can start getting Sony Michel involved in the passing game, something that he at least showed he was able to do at Georgia, to me, that is what makes this offense much, much better. And that's why Rex Burkhead has been able to have so much more success, because he's more versatile, or at least has shown that so far here. So to me, that's the biggest takeaway. So it doesn't allow linebackers to cheat a little bit when you see Sony Michel out there. So to me, that's the biggest thing. Get him involved in the passing game.
Interesting. Yeah, and like, I'm curious, how do you think they approach it against the Giants? Because the Giants' secondary stinks. I mean, you can run on them fine. Like, Dalvin Cook had a really nice day, but like the Vikings didn't need to throw the ball. I mean, run the ball once. They could have thrown the ball every time and every single time, Adam, like, run fake play action. Do you think the Patriots will, seeing how they, like, I thought the Adrian Peterson quote from last week was really interesting. He basically said, like, man, you watch these guys on film. They're doing all kinds of exotic stuff. He's like, they just sort of came out and let us make mistakes and won the game that way. Do you think the Patriots try to come out? Like, what is their approach on offense? Come out, throw play action early, let Brady get down the field, put the Giants back so they can kind of rush the ball and melt the clock? Because this feels, too, like it's Thursday night. They're going to have a 10-day break until they play the Jets. Or an 11-day break, because the Jets is a Monday. Oh, God, the Jets is a Monday night game. Right. I mean, it's a road, you know, it's a road game against a team that Bill Belichick hates and he wants to stomp out. He's going to have 11 days. It does feel like they want to get – I mean, isn't it a they get in – get it done, get out, and be healthy situation?
In a perfect world, the Patriots love to step on the gas early, put up a ton of points, go up by a touchdown or two, and then kind of just coast the rest of the way. And whether that's passing the football, running the football, it really just depends on how the game unfolds. But overall, that's how they'd like to do it. Weren't able to do that last week. It was a weird situation against the Redskins. But overall, I think it's going to be a situation where if you look at the weather and it's just crappy and it's just not great, well, then they're probably just going to try to run it down their throats. And then once they get in striking distance of the end zone, maybe that's where you see maybe the tight ends get involved a little bit. You saw that last week. Mm-mm. Maybe it's Josh Gordon for a deep pass. But overall, I actually think they're going to try to limit a little bit of their receivers because, as we know, Philip Dorsett's not going to play in this game. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. But you also have Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman on the injury report. They're questionable, but they're going to play. But to me, I almost think that you can almost use this as a part of your extended break here. You don't have to use them too much. I mean, when you need them, obviously call their number. Sure. But this is a game that you should win rather easily. Let Sony Michel, James White kind of build some rapport there in the backfield. And I think you could win this game with them as opposed to really leaning on Julian Edelman or Josh Gordon to really carry you here.
Okay. Let's get some props really quickly. Tom Brady, over, under passing yards, 275 and a half. That is high.
That's high. I think I'd go under on that one. The weather, the situation that they're in, it just doesn't feel like it's a game where he's going to be airing it out. I mean, again, last week he went over 300 yards passing against the Redskins, so he obviously can do it. And, you know, we all know Tom Brady can do that in his sleep. But I ultimately don't think that that's what the game's going to dictate. I don't think they're going to really ask him to throw for over 300 yards or even close to it.
By the way, I got a prop. I put a prop parlay in, or this like a double result parlay, prop parlay. Matt Lacoste, two touchdowns, and Patriots win 34-1. Not bad.
Ooh, I like it. I like it.
$5. I mean, like, it feels like a Matt Lacoste game for some reason, yep. Right? Like,
he's starting to get healthy. You got to remember, this is a guy that's really, really interesting. Matt Lacoste was a guy that the Patriots targeted in free agency. He was one of their first free agent signings when free agency opened early in the offseason. So to me, this guy who's been dealing with injuries, finally starting to get healthy, played almost, I almost think it was 100% of the snaps, or at least close to it last week against the Redskins. Didn't do too much in the passing game, but he's a guy that I'm interested in, especially now that they decided to not sign or, you know, activate Benjamin Watson. So to me, that's kind of a stamp of approval for Matt Lacoste and Ryan Izzo.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean,
they're not going to be Rob Gronkowski, but they'll be solid or should be solid.
But it also feels like the Giants could stack the box and they run some play action in the red zone and then Brady goes up top to him. Would you go over or under Tom Brady 1.5 passing touchdowns?
I'd go over on that one because I could easily see them get to the red zone and it's one of those like Brandon Bolden touchdowns or James White touchdowns.
They had the wheel route to Brandon Bolden last week too.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Or it could even be one of those, you know, touch passes with James White. I could so see that happening.
Over under Daniel Jones, 224.5 passing yards.
No, I still go under on this one. You know, the weather too, but also just facing that defense. Last week he was facing Minnesota. I think it was like 180 yards passing or something around that number. I think it's probably a repeat performance around that number, 180, 190. I just don't see him going over 200.
I'm with you there. I also like the completions under on Daniel Jones. I think it's 20.5.
Oh yeah, I'd take the under on that.
Yeah, I don't think he gets to 20. I don't think he gets to 21 completions. I mean, maybe they're like down big in the second half and he's just dinking.
Sure. Yeah. You know, there's always the garbage time component, but if they are playing wire to wire, it's just not happening.
Right. And yeah, if it's a close game, I don't think he'll get there either. I think it'll just be a low scoring slugfest. Let's see. Sony Michel rushing yards over under 71.5.
I'd go over on this one. I'm going well over on it. I think he can go for 100. It feels like that kind of a game. If that's what I feel like the game's going to call for, I just see it going over.
Golden Tate, over under receiving yards, 52.5.
I like the over on this one. Yeah. I do, because who else is he going to throw it to? Like that's, even if Daniel Jones throws for 180 yards, at least, you know, 75% of that should go to Golden Tate.
Yep. I'm with you. All right, and finally, let's get the actual prediction. Patriots, -17. Yeah, it's a lot of points. And the over-under, 41.5. What did you have as your projected final score?
I did this before the weather.
Well, see, we don't even tell Dubin what the line is. Usually he doesn't want to know. He wants to just tell us what the final score is. So you wrote this before the weather.
I wrote this before the weather, but I'll stick to it just because I had it, I believe, 33-6 or 9 or something like that. I think it was 36-6. Yeah. Oh, 36-6.
You're all over the over under. It's a good job. Yeah.
So I think that's just the way it's going to go. It's going to look similar to last week in the sense of the final score. I just don't think Daniel Jones, I like him as a prospect.
Sure.
I just think he's in a terrible spot. I almost feel bad for him. I was joking in Slack. I go, the Giants should just start Eli Manning to troll the Patriots.
Protect Daniel Jones. I like that idea. Like there's nobody out here to throw to. Just start Eli. See if he can pull some Patriots destructive magic out of his ass. And then just be like, listen, we're not letting Daniel Jones deal with this. This will cripple his psyche and it will make him look terrible. The NFL, when the obvious is out there and it's very obvious, it usually never happens.
Right.
It's hard to get away from it here, Tyler. But I mean, this is like, it's 51 degrees up there. The temperature is.
It's probably going to feel even colder than that because it's like wet. It's windy. It's going to be in the middle of the night. Like, it's a night game. It's not even like it's like a day game or anything like that. It just is going to be a raw, cold game in Foxborough.
85% humidity, 51 degrees. It's going to be raining all night. The wind is going to be 14, somewhere between 15 and 16 and 20 miles an hour. This is a disaster. This is the worst possible game.
It's just a gross game. It's just gross. So I do think it's a tough spot for Daniel Jones. I like him, but I just think that first of all, the weather. Second of all, the Patriots defense is just otherworldly right now. And they're playing at Gillette Stadium where it's almost impossible for rookie quarterbacks to come in and win.
76% of the bets per the Action Network are on the Patriots, 85% of the money on the Patriots. No, you're not finding anybody that wants to take the Giants even at plus 17. All right, follow him at Tyler Sully. That was a very Boston. I like the Sully. You get the Sully in there.
I know. I really, really playing into
Do people call you Sully?
Yeah. That's the big name.
So you go by Sully with like your friends?
Yeah. Literally my mom, it's Sully. Okay. My mom calls me Tyler, and it's Tyler Sullivan really long.
But people at work call you Tyler, right?
Yeah, well, it goes back and forth.
Like in Slack, but like some people call me Will. No one in my life, like in real life, calls me Will. Everyone calls me Brinson, which is fine. Like, I don't care. I go by either one because my name's freaking Will.
It doesn't really matter. But I think it's starting to come around because, you know, obviously we're new here. A couple of us transitioning from 24/7. So they know me as Sully. And so like
for seven guys know you, Sully. We don't know. See, we Like I wouldn't know.
It's getting there though. It's getting there.
All right, Sully. I like Sully better than Tyler. All right, we'll go Sully. Follow Sully on Twitter at Tyler Sully. Read him on CBSSports.com. This is fun, buddy. We'll do it again.
Yeah, no problem.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sampfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.